This is Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, this is Veronica Pimentel,
Silverio Pelayo,
and Kayana Iskandarian.
You're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that promotes the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions. Stimulating discussions and listening pleasures will be enjoyed with experts and leaders in health, culture, music, art, and politics. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Platicando y Mejorando. Thank you to all our listeners. On today's show, we're going to be covering youth wellness, some of the contributors, and also some of the inhibitors of youth wellness. Here at Pueblo y Salud, of course, we focus on preventative work. Some of us personally have worked with young people before coming on board, so we'll be exploring a variety of different topics. Just to start off the conversation, we have here some data from the county, LA County, a specific report on suicide among young people. So suicide is the third leading cause of death among Los Angeles County youth between the ages of 50 and 24 years of age. It is the highest rate among this group. To be honest, I'm pretty shocked by these figures. It's unfortunate that there's so many young people that are suffering so much and find no other recourse than to take their own lives. I think it's indicative of a larger, deeper issue among our society. Something that always comes up is you can tell sort of where a society's at by how they treat and support their young people and their women. These figures are just, they're pretty shocking and pretty saddening. On today's show, we'll be exploring, this particular issue and also what are some of the contributing factors, and also not to just dwell on this unfortunate situation, but also some of the efforts that folks are taking to remedy, whether it's here at Pueblo y Salud, but also other orgs out there and other individuals. So go ahead and give the mic over to my co-host here. And I know we have some particular topics that we'll be discussing as they relate to this topic.
Thank you, Silverio. I think it's important that our guests know that we all play a part and we all play a role in ensuring that this doesn't happen. And preventing suicide begins with teaching, establishing those relationships, mm-hmm. maintaining physical, emotional, and mental well-being. So as I mentioned, we all play a role, whether you're a friend, a peer, a healthcare provider, parents, families, faith leaders, teachers, and coaches. I know that as I was working at an elementary school, my students would come to me. As I was the youngest person on campus, they had that level of closeness and they felt like they could come to me. But just knowing that I also had to report activity, like whatever was, whatever I was trusted with, it was information that I had to make sure that I passed on to either a principal or maybe it's something that I need to call in as a mandated reporter. Mm-hmm. We are there to ensure that our students are being safe, like physical and emotional safety. So we all play a role in preventing suicide. So it's important that we know the warning signs. We take the person seriously. So if they're telling us, I'm feeling a certain way, or if they're letting you know that they want to harm themselves, it's important that we listen with empathy and provide that support and just being attentive and being present in that moment that as they're speaking, we're giving them our full attention. I know it gets a little difficult, but just making sure that they know that we're listening. Make a safety plan to reduce easy access to lethal means. So say if someone at home, if a parent knows that their child suffers from depression or thoughts of suicide, then obviously you wouldn't want to have firearms, medications, like it being very accessible. And then not keeping suicide secrets. So tell a trusted person, seek that professional help. So again, calling that hotline and making sure that we're able to get those resources to them. But we didn't want to just focus on preventing youth suicide, but also like diving down into how we play a role in the emotional well-being of the youth. But we also wanted to target what are some of the possible causes.
Social media is often the cause that's cited the most in discussions about depression or suicide or youth mental health. And I definitely think personally that there's like a duality that goes along with it. I think there are the positives of it. It can be a platform that can cultivate community and acceptance, but it also has another side, which can breed insecurity, can encourage bullying, and can be a contributing factor to poor mental well-being.
That's good.
Yeah, I think going along with that, if we consider sort of the development of an individual, of a person, you know, when you're a preteen, right, 11, 12, 13, it's very significant on a number of levels. But it's really a time where something inside of you is asking to make the great leap of becoming a young adult. And part of that process is figuring out and waiting through those aspects of yourself that are shadowy, dishonest, that could be contributing to this this fog that a lot of times young people and maybe people in general often find themselves in when we're maybe trying to play into a certain character or ideas that are actually foreign to us.
Because when I recall even my own personal experiences of like being a teenager, it's just a very confusing state and you're trying to come into your own, but at the same time, you're still at that stage of you're trying to please others, you're trying to fit in. And in modern day, social media is something that's very prevalent. And so youth and teenagers try to fit in through social media, and that's not necessarily always a positive thing. I think there are really great spaces on social media. I myself like have explored like mental like well-being, like different accounts, different sources. I found communities for myself. But when you're going through that transitional phase, you don't know to look for those things. You're just seeking out a way to feel better about yourself and feel like you belong, and it leaves you vulnerable to pursue things that might leave a negative impact on your life.
Something I want to know, a couple weeks ago I had to do a mental health first aid training with the city of La Cañada, Flint Ridge. We learned how to do the ALGI action plan. So it consists of action A, assessing for risk of suicide or harm. Action L is listen non-judgmentally. Action G, give reassurance and information. Action E is encourage appropriate professional help. And another action E is encourage self-help and other support strategy. Don't be afraid to let your friends, family, or teachers know what you need when they ask. They want to help. You can also call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline anytime. Calls are confidential. You can call at 1-800-273-8255. We thank you guys for staying with us. We're going to go on a music break. Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, this is Veronica Pimentel,
Silverio Pelayo,
and Guyana Iskandarian. Welcome back, everyone. Silverio, do you have anything else you want to add to this conversation?
Yeah, we were, I know earlier we were discussing previously we discussed social media, and I was just thinking around a bigger picture. How does society or the culture view young people? How do young people view themselves, and like, mm-hmm. and what narratives and what stories are available to them to make sense of themselves and their place in the world? And when I think back to my own life growing up, I think for me it was. School was like a big thing. Like, it's like as a child, you're expected to go to school. You're expected to go to high school. And then in high school, you're kind of given the narrative of like continuing on to college and university. And not that that's bad or negative or not meaningful, but it's not everybody's path. And mm-hmm. so I do think that there's a lack of meaningful stories available to young people to place themselves in the world. Oftentimes, at least working with young people myself, a lot of times the young people that I worked with, because of the environment that they were in, I think school was the last thing on their mind. And mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, a lot of them didn't find school engaging or rewarding. And it seemed almost like, specifically in the middle schools, like the young people were treated almost as prisoners or sort of guarded and nitpicked at and like overly policed. And to me, that's very much contrary to the needs of a young person, because young people are naturally vibrant, naturally full of energy, and so naturally full of ideas and aspirations and a thirst for life. And very much so, schools tend to a lot of times dampen that. You know, children are expected to sit in a classroom for 8 hours a day, and then maybe they're let out for recess or nutrition for 10, 15 minutes, and then lunch maybe for a little longer than that. And so I think, yeah, so what narratives, what stories are out there available to young people to make sense of of themselves and the world? And then also, let's take a look at the educational system and how it is that the educational system, at least the prevalent educational system, works with young people. And are they doing all they can to really draw out the best in everybody and all the young people? A lot of times we're overly focused on performing in the economic market, careers and such. And it's not to say that, again, not to say that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think if the young people are not connecting to that message, then we really need to look again at the messaging. Is it meaningful? Does it touch them on a deeper level? And I would say it does.
I think it also relates to the American educational system being very standardized. There's a lot of focus on performance, grades, and test scores instead of the well-being of their student. Are they actually ingesting and learning the content at school? And are they being prepared for real life? So growing up, in my experience with the children and teenagers that I worked with, and also the teenagers that I have even in my family, were taught you have to grow up, you have to go to school, you have to go to college, you have to get a job. But it seems there's no actual guidance. It's all of these things that are just said at you. And when you start school and you're trying to navigate throughout it, you feel kind of like Silverio said, it seems very policed. It doesn't seem like you have the freedom to engage, to question, to think. And I think that's a really big hindrance, because we're not producing children that feel comfortable engaging and speaking and thinking and collaborating with others. We're raising kids who are kind of scared and isolated, which can lead to a lot of issues later on in life.
Yeah, I like that you touched on that about having those expectations and not necessarily having that guidance. I can say as the first generation, you know, our parents do expect us, like, okay, you need to go to school, you need to go to college, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then we're like, okay, cool, like we're excited, but it's like, okay, how do I do it? And since they're just coming, then they don't necessarily know how to properly go about it. So they're not able to provide all of the resources. So it's a lot of things. And I'm speaking like my personal experience, where like figuring it out on your own or having to ask other people because you didn't get to see it hands or like firsthand at home.
Yeah, let me, if I can, I always, whenever this topic comes up for discussion, I always think about Michael Mead, who's a he's a mythologist. He a psychologist of sorts. He works with young people. He works with traumatized people, and has written some books. And he's one of the people that I always think about as an alternative to the mainstream narratives and stories as they relate to young people in particular, and as they relate to education in particular. Him and, of course, a number of other people that I've had the blessing to have met. But here's a quote of his that says, "The real education is when you awaken and nourish and guide the inner spirit, this inner genius. The community grows from the giving of the gifts of the people in it, which is really giving from the genius." I really like that, because, again, it's not to set aside or to belittle education, but it's really to look at, what does education really mean? What does education truly mean? Is it education that prepares you for a career in a economy, or is it the inner spirit, the inner genius, stream of life? Again, the importance of mentorship in the lives of young people. And again, this discussion, you know, I know this discussion of the spirit, but we can look at spirit as our thirst for life, as imagination, as ideas.
And growing up, mentorship was something that I personally didn't have. It was just a time of confusion for me, trying to figure out the American educational system. I couldn't ask my parents at home. I had no one in my family that could guide me. So I very much isolated myself, and it affected my performance in school. So now that I'm older and I've kind of gone over those hurdles and I understand how important community building and mentorship is, it is truly such a joy engaging with young people who need the guidance that I needed back in the day when I was in school. And I think in America, we need to emphasize community engagement, community building, and mentorship, because although America is kind of marketed as an individualistic society, it's not. We're made up of communities, different kinds of cultures and ethnic groups and minorities, and some communities more need more mentorship and support than others. So it's important to focus on the community and collectivism as opposed to just individualism in the society.
Something happens when young people are in the same room as adults, where it seems as if young people touch some part of us that is hard to face, or maybe more so than hard to face. Like, I don't know, that maybe we haven't necessarily integrated this part, or because oftentimes, instead of welcoming young people and all their vibrancy, we tend to shut that vibrancy down. And I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I hope very much that I learn so that I don't dampen her light, her inner fire, because it's so easy in the split of a second to do that and work against her. So I think, again, going back to society as a whole, I don't know that society knows very much about how to nurture young people. Mm-hmm. That's why oftentimes I look towards Michael Mead, for example, who draws a lot from traditional societies, from mythic stories. These are ancient stories that have been told for ages and ages. And because traditional peoples still retain a lot of the wisdom mm-hmm. that I think we in quote-unquote industrialized societies have really forgotten and been so far removed from. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if maybe our educational system, and I don't want to say it all, because obviously there's pockets and schools, or obviously there's different types of schools and such, but if we can, if you can forgive me for generalizing, generally it's a mechanistic, right? It's sort of like this factory of producing workers or employees or what have you, suits, if you will. But where's the heart? Where's the heart in it all?
These are all very great conversations. I know that the community is going to be very pleased with getting some additional resources and sharing you guys sharing your personal stories. We're going to go ahead and take a music break, but please stay tuned so you can hear more from Gayane and Silverio. Oh, yeah. Don't know why, but I love you, I do. Cause I like the way you love me. Oh, girl. Every time you kiss me, thrills me from my head to feet. And I tell myself that deep down inside there will be no one else for me. Cause I like the way you tell
Cause I like the way you love me, thrill me, chill me, love me. I like the way you love me, oh girl, oh girl, you're my love, you're all mine, cause I like the way you
other girls are filling your head with jive. So now you're acting like you don't know that I'm alive. Love, you better wake up, yeah, before we break up and you lose me. Look to me, the one who really loves you. Susie only
Foxy clothes, the cutest nose. and my name is Rel. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom, and I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby, come with me. Take my hand.
Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet, a woman who carries herself like Miss Universe. And my name is Larry, and I like a woman that loves everything and everybody. And you know what, ladies, if you feel that this is you, then this is what I want you to do.
Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, this is Veronica Pimentel,
Silverio Pelayo,
and Kayana Iskandarian.
You're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that promotes the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions. Stimulating discussions and listening pleasures will be enjoyed with experts and leaders in health, culture, music, art, and politics. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m.
If anything, I want, for me personally, I hope that this episode is a call to life, a call to the continuation of life, of hope, of joy, and especially for those young people that may find themselves in a situation where life seems bleak or unappealing. To those young people, I hope that you find your spirit, your genius, because we need you and this world needs you. So I again, I make a call for life. I make a call for all those things that are good in this world.
Thank you for allowing us to join you on this beautiful Saturday morning. We just want to remind you that we're on air every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Once again, this is your host, Veronica Pimentel.
Silverio Pelayo.
And Guyana Iskandarian.
Tune in next Saturday. Thank you.
Silencio, las velas no se apagan, ardiendo nos vemos, el agua de la piel tu nombre, la música parece el silencio. Oh, oh. Las patas de la cama son columnas, el vicio es en el techo del cielo. Cabalga como página sin nombre, en busca de un final entre sahumerio. Oh, mi reina no se durmió. Ah, parece brillando de espejo. Piernas, refugios y olores, los dos casi como un cuerpo, los dos casi como un cuerpo.
pasión que me lleve a amarte. Aire, tu boca es la poción que envenena y arde. Aire, quiero una canción que me lleve a amarte. Aire, tu boca es la poción que envenena y arde. Árbol de la inspiración robó mi voz. Se quema mi luz y vuelvo al mundo inmundo. Devoro tu boca, ya creo en tu milagro. Camino tu cuerpo y vago rindiéndome al deseo. Aire, quiero una canción que me lleve a amarte. Aire, tu boca es la poción que envenena y arde. Aire, yo quiero una canción que me lleve a amarte. Aire, tu boca es la poción que envenena y arde.
Down. sos una